This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Trump and Clinton have some explaining to do. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Wednesday, August 10, glad you're with us. Here's what's up this hour.
Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton has been endorsed by a man who has expressed support for the Taliban and harshly condemned homosexuality. Will she distance herself from him?
Meanwhile, Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump is under fire for saying Second Amendment people could prevent a Clinton presidency.
At the Olympics, Michael Phelps rules the pool again, plus a conversation with the American who's the new face of female wrestling.
And following up on a trending story about your first seven jobs, what those jobs say about you.
First seven jobs looks really different for millennials, or certain young people were tweeting and saying, I haven't had seven jobs, or, you know, what we're dealing with now in 2016 does look really different from people who are now famous and are sharing what they were doing 20 years ago. For one thing, it's much less common. We've looked at the data, and it's much less common for teenagers to have summer jobs.
Market Watch reporter Maria LaMagna has a deeper dive on the work we did as teenagers and the interesting social media shares of that story. She's here in about 20 minutes. Another off-the-cuff remark seems to have caused more controversy for Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump. Critics feel it can be interpreted as inciting violence against Democratic rival Hillary Clinton. His comments in Wilmington, North Carolina, come one day after he delivered an economic policy speech in Detroit that many Republicans saw as a disciplined reboot, since there have been falling poll numbers recently. Yesterday, he spoke about how a Clinton presidency would undermine rights of gun owners.
If she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know.
The Clinton campaign declared his remarks dangerous, charging that they amounted to a call for an attack against his opponent. The Trump campaign says it was an awkwardly worded call to mobilize gun owners as a political voting force. Mr. Trump's running mate, Mike Pence, blamed the media for what he called, quote, concocting daily controversies. A Florida man who has voiced support for the Taliban and condemned homosexuality says he supports Hillary Clinton for president. Sadiq Mateen, father of the suspect in the Orlando nightclub shooting back in June, got himself a prime seat at a rally for Mrs. Clinton in Kissimmee, sitting right behind her in full view of TV cameras as she paid tribute to victims of the Pulse nightclub massacre.
And I want them to know that we will be with you. We will be with you as you rebuild your lives, as you rebuild hope for the future.
You'll recall that 49 people were murdered that night, the worst attack on American soil since 9/11. Mr. Mateen, meanwhile, told a local TV station that people should not be surprised that he was at the rally.
Why they shouldn't be surprised? I love United States, and I've been living here for a long time.
He said he was invited to Monday's speech, then suggested it just may have been part of a mass email invite to area supporters. The Clinton campaign said yesterday they were not aware of his presence. House Speaker Paul Ryan has easily captured his primary election in Wisconsin over businessman Paul Nehlen. This race normally would not have made news, since Mr. Ryan was running with about 85% of the vote yesterday. But you'll recall that Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump at first declined to endorse Mr. Ryan because Mr. Ryan said in early May that he was not yet ready to endorse Mr. Trump. A month later, Mr. Ryan formally backed Mr. Trump but has not shied away from disagreeing with his policy stances or from criticizing his most contentious comments. He spoke last night after being declared the winner.
People know who I am, they know what I believe in, and they know I mean what I say, and I say what I mean, and I don't do it in a mean way.
Meanwhile, after Mr. Trump's running mate, Indiana Governor Mike Pence, voiced his support for Mr. Ryan, Mr. Trump followed suit with a late endorsement on Friday. Mr. Ryan, by the way, is seeking a 10th term in the House. 11 minutes now after the hour. On this morning, America's First News.
You're a small to mid-sized business with 300 to 3,000 employees. You face the same network security challenges as big businesses do, but can't support a big IT investment, leaving your doors open to advanced cyber threats. Barracuda Next Generation Firewalls provide all the core features of enterprise firewalls and UTMs, but without hidden costs and deployment hurdles, making owning a big business firewall no big deal for your SMB. Reclaim your network. Try a Barracuda Next Gen Firewall risk-free at barracuda.com/firewalls.
Looking for the next place to grow or expand your business? Why not look to a state that's one of America's top 10 for business, where 2,000 burdensome regulations were eliminated over the past 5 years and is now home to the sixth best entrepreneurial climate. All this and more awaits you in the state of Michigan, the state that should be the number one choice for your business. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. Again, that's MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. Glad you could spend some time with us on this Wednesday. For better or worse, Hillary Clinton's success in November will be closely tied to what people think of President Obama. That's what history tells us. It's a story from Eliza Collins at USA Today. Eliza, what have you found?
So I talked to some historians and people who study presidential politics specifically, and I asked them, you know, is it actually helpful to have such a close relationship with Obama? We saw at the convention they were literally arm in arm. And they're saying, yes, it's helpful right now, but it doesn't really matter because you're tied to the president of your party no matter who you are when you're running for president.
Yeah. If his approval ratings hadn't climbed above 50%, I mean, they probably wouldn't have been so arm in arm, right? I mean, really is almost a matter of convenience and timing.
Exactly. And that's, you know, he right now is doing well. The job numbers the last couple of months have been to his advantage. And so it's good for Clinton. His approval ratings, you know, even after these bumps in the polls, he still has higher favorables than her. So it is convenient to align yourself with someone who's more popular than she is right now.
Yeah. All right. So what does history tell us about aligning yourself with the outgoing president of the same party?
Well, pretty much if the president is popular, you'll win, and if they're not, you won't. I mean, we look at George W. Bush, who was very unpopular when he was ending, and John McCain, even he kind of tried to go a different direction, but it didn't matter. He lost, and Obama came in. He, you know, was a change. The Bill Clinton thing's a little bit different because he was actually very popular, but he had had this whole impeachment scandal, and so Al Gore had tried to distance himself to avoid the impeachment, and he also lost. So there's kind of questions if he had tapped into Clinton's popularity, had he done better. And, yeah. I mean, you can keep going back. George H.W. Bush was close with Reagan. Reagan was very popular. He won.
Right, right. There has to be, too, I guess, a certain amount of a fatigue factor, right? I mean, President Obama's been in office 8 years. Clinton was in office 8 years. Bush was in office 8 years.
Exactly. I think that, you know, you can't argue 8 years of the same thing. People always, you know, there is always kind of a desire for something new and different, no matter how, you know, he's popular right now. But he has. Democrats have been in control of the White House for 8 years.
All right, we're speaking with Eliza Collins, politics reporter at USA Today. She's got a piece entitled Clinton Obama Tied Together No Matter What, at least according to historians. So what could upset things, I guess, for Mrs. Clinton if she's trying to ride his coattails? Or what could, I guess, throw back or hurt Mr. Obama's poll numbers?
So, you know, these historians I talked to said it kind of actually would take a lot at this point. There's not too much time before the election, and he has kind of, especially in contrast with Donald Trump, he is looking like the calmer, you know, more thoughtful president. But if there was, you know, a domestic terrorist attack or these job numbers, some kind of recession, definitely that would not, his approvals would tank, and Hillary Clinton is tied so closely to him, so it would hurt her as well.
Yeah. Or I guess a scandal of her own, or I should say another scandal of her own could hurt.
Right. Yeah. She could definitely hurt herself.
Anybody saying I don't know, in the past somebody's done a good job of taking advantage and climbing back into the race, because that's what obviously Mr. Trump is facing.
Right. Based on a president tapping into a president.
Or drawing, I guess, the comparisons between an outgoing president and that president's choice to replace him.
You know, I haven't heard, that wasn't something mentioned when I was speaking with people, but that is an interesting topic, and we're looking, I mean, Donald Trump is kind of trying to climb out of this hole right now, and he is hoping that there's enough people, you know, despite high approval ratings, who don't like Obama. He's really trying to tie Obama and Clinton together. Yesterday he gave this speech, and he mentioned, I counted like 7 times, this Obama-Clinton policies, and he kept saying, they fail, they fail, they fail. So he's trying to tap into that other 40-something percent of people who don't like Obama and hoping that'll hurt Clinton that way.
Thanks, Eliza. Eliza Collins, politics reporter at USA Today. 19 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
President Donald Trump is blaming faulty interpretations and media bias for an uproar over his comments about the Second Amendment. At a rally yesterday, he told the crowd that there was nothing they could do if Hillary Clinton became president and stacked the Supreme Court with anti-gun justices. Then Trump said, although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know. Some Democrats, like California Congressman Eric Swalwell, are accusing Trump of openly encouraging violence.
I was very disturbed to hear a presidential candidate, Donald Trump, call in a public forum for basically someone to kill his opponent, Secretary Clinton.
In an interview last night on Fox, Trump says he believed he was being clear about his attempt to motivate gun owners to back his campaign. The father of the Orlando gunman attended a Hillary Clinton rally in Florida Monday to show his support for the Democratic candidate. Sadiq Mateen was asked if he thought people would be surprised to see him there.
Why they should be surprised? I love United States, and I've been living here for a long time.
Mateen showed WPTV a sign he made in support of Clinton, highlighting that he believes she is good for national security. The Clinton campaign says Mateen wasn't invited as a guest, and they were unaware of his attendance until after the event. Michael Phelps has avenged his defeat at the 2012 London Games by winning the 200-meter butterfly last night. Then he won his 21st career gold medal as part of the winning 4x200 relay team. On the women's side, Katie Ledecky captured her second gold medal of the Rio Games, winning the 200-meter freestyle, and the gymnastics team easily took gold. Well, you knew it had to happen soon. Six Flags Great Adventure in New Jersey plans to open what it says will be the world's first interactive gaming coaster adventure. People who ride the Rage of the Gargoyles will become virtual reality fighter jet pilots as they go after gargoyles. The coaster will have nearly 1,400 feet of track and will provide riders with virtual reality headsets and HD images. The ride will open next month.
That could make you really dizzy.
You're going to be first in line there, aren't you?
That's not for gargoyles.
Not for something else, maybe?
Yeah, I'd rather like fight against real fighter jets or something like that. Pretend I was, an Air Force guy.
You have no trouble taking out a gargoyle.
Yeah, That would make you dizzy, though, right? You got virtual reality headsets on, plus you're on a ride?
Yeah, that sounds sickening.
Huh. 21 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Glad you could be with us on this Wednesday as we've tweeted and talked about the viral discussion of the jobs we had as teenagers has taken off with the hashtag #FirstSevenJobs. With a deeper dive on what those jobs say about us, here's MarketWatch reporter Maria LaMagna. Maria, popular on Twitter, especially by celebs.
So then there were some other tweets saying, First Seven Jobs looks really different for millennials, or certain young people were tweeting and saying, I haven't had seven jobs, or, sort of saying that what we're dealing with now in 2016 does look really different from people who are now famous and are sharing what they were doing 20 years ago. For one thing, it's much less common. We've looked at the data, and it's much less common for teenagers to have summer jobs. It's now like 1 in 3 teenagers have a summer job, whereas several decades ago it was more like half. So it is true that now fewer people are going to be able to say, for my first 7 jobs I was doing X or Y in the summer, because it's just not as common.
Yeah. So the reason for that is why? Anybody take a guess as to why 1 in 3 teens only are working a summer job these days?
Yeah, well, the main thing seems to be that, with all of this crazy preparation for college, a lot of people are turning their attention to things like volunteering or studying abroad or doing these other extracurriculars that they think will really put them in a good position to get into a competitive college. So it's partly that. The other part is that you know, as the economy has evolved, there also tend to be, you know, we've seen the same pattern in other highly developed countries, that there is less work for less skilled workers. So, you know, whereas in the 70s, there may have been more low-skilled jobs, manufacturing and, you know, service type of jobs, now technology has replaced some of those jobs, and they're just not available for anyone, let alone teenagers just looking for something for the summer.
We're speaking with Maria LaMagna, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. She's got a piece entitled, What Your First Seven Jobs Say About You. Anybody take a dive on that, about kind of what's reflected about you in there?
Yeah, I mean, I think the main thing is just it's kind of an indicator of when you grew up. You know, I don't think it's – I think some people tend to think that younger people are lazy or they don't want to work or certain things like that. And I think it's actually just more an indication that the economy itself has changed a lot in the last couple decades. And I don't think it's that teenagers are necessarily wired differently, but it just is – a mark of how society has changed. And, you know, I think it's up for debate whether it's a good or bad thing. I obviously, you know, I had summer jobs growing up, and I definitely think I learned a lot. But, you know, it is the reality that younger kids today are probably not going to have that same experience.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting, though, and perhaps for some people somewhat inspiring, right, to know that Buzz Aldrin at one point was a dishwasher, or that Regina Spektor was like a, you know, medical office temp, or Mira Sorvino, babysitter, you know, Lin-Manuel Miranda, slushy machine at my aunt's store, you know? That's
totally
good stuff.
Yeah, no, I think that's a lot of why the hashtag took off, because it is really fun to see, okay, these people had to work in various, you know, entry-level jobs before they got their big break. So, yeah, I've personally been inspired by some of these celebrity stories for a while, and so it was fun to just kind of see them, the jobs listed out on Twitter. That was kind of, yeah, a fun, inspiring look at their lives.
Yeah. And the one guy who was not famous, right? It was just this guy, Joe Albanese. He was just funny, right? Unpaid intern, paid intern, then number seven, unemployed.
Exactly, yeah. I think, well, one thing that I didn't actually go into in the article too much, but, you know, we were saying with the gig economy, you know, it's possible that people are working more than one job at once, too. I definitely did that. When I had to do unpaid internships, I was a lifeguard at night and stuff like that. So I think, you know, even if people are complaining about how many times you have to be an intern or an unpaid intern these days, it's possible that you can make money at the same time by kind of putting different jobs together in a piecemeal sort of way.
Thanks, Maria. Maria LaMagna, Market Watch reporter in New York. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from, and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy, and that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Glad you could spend some time with us on this Wednesday, August 10. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Trump suggests Second Amendment people could stop a Clinton presidency. A man who supports the Taliban and condemns homosexuality announces his support for Hillary. The New York Times says newly released emails raise questions about whether the Clinton Foundation worked to reward its donors with access and influence at the State Department while Mrs. Clinton was Secretary of State. On the tech front, Facebook will be overriding your ad-blocking software. You now face a penalty if you call a female attorney honey or darling in court. And the youngest Olympian in history. That story in about 20 minutes. One of the interesting stories about Team USA at the Rio Olympics involves women's wrestling. A Colorado woman named Adeline Gray is projected to be the first female to win gold for the U.S. The 25-year-old is the reigning three-time world wrestling champion, competing in her first Olympics. She's with us from Copacabana, where she'll compete a week from tomorrow. Adeline, how'd you become a wrestler?
My dad was a wrestler, and that's how I got into it at 6 years old. I got into the sport and fell in love with it, and I've just been so thankful that I've been able to find new heights with it within USA Wrestling and Team USA.
Wow. What was it like in school or I don't know, around town? Did people say, oh, Adeline, listen, wrestling's for boys. You need to be a cheerleader or a softball player or something like that?
You know, it's really interesting. I grew up in Denver, Colorado, and I didn't have very many people that told me no. I had a very supportive system and coaches and teammates that treated me as an athlete when I stepped onto the mat. And it wasn't until I got into kind of the international circuit when some of the old Russian coaches came over and were like, you're too pretty to wrestle. And I'm looking at them, I'm like, I've never been told I'm too pretty to do anything. I don't understand why that would stop anybody from doing anything. And so it just was a very eye-opening experience to kind of finally be told that I wasn't supposed to be doing something. I thought this whole time that I was just supposed to be going out there and working hard and working towards my dreams of becoming an athlete. And once the women's wrestling got put into the Olympics in 2004, becoming an Olympian. And now I've accomplished those goals. And I just kind of hope that women all over can see that this is an important thing that you can dream about.
We're speaking with Adeline Gray, U.S. women's freestyle wrestler. She's in Rio competing at the Olympics, getting ready to compete. You seem to embrace that, kind of being the face of this movement.
It's an amazing spot to be in. I mean, it's just kind of timing, honestly, pairing up with my success of my peak of my career and then also having the ability that the movement of the world, I mean, we have women's pay, we have a president nomination. I mean, there's so many kind of girl power things that are happening right now in the world. And in with my life in particular, I see how much I lacked not having that dream and those role models when I was younger, and I want that to change. I'm living a fantastic life right now, and this is a life that people should dream about, that young girls should dream about, and that's something that's very important to me, that young girls look up to people in my situation and people in the soccer players and Carrie Walsh and different things like that and see that women can be professional athletes, and we can dream about being athletic past high school and past college and getting our degrees and making sure that we are being, you know, powerful, strong, beautiful parts of our society.
When you tell people that you're a wrestler who you don't know, do they sometimes say, oh, like with John Cena and the Bella Twins on WWE?
Yeah, I have people hand me chairs quite often, and I never really understand it because I've never really watched WWE or the fake wrestling, and I just... I'm going to have to sit down and watch a couple episodes because I do have a lot of friends who are very into it, but it's a very different sport. You know, that's yes. An entertainment field, and wrestling is more of a combat competition.
Let me ask you this. So for parents who are listening or maybe young women who are listening, why would you say wrestling is good for girls?
I think wrestling is good for people. I think that wrestling teaches you how to work hard. It teaches you how to persevere. It teaches you so much about being on a team, but also being by yourself, which is so much of life. I mean, having a team and supporting you and having that support system is very important. But a lot like life, when you step out onto that mat, it's all about you. The decisions that you make, win or lose, it's going to be your fault. And that's something that wrestling teaches you to a core.
Adeline Gray, female wrestler for Team USA, with us from Copacabana, Brazil. She competes next Thursday, a week from tomorrow. Now, she may not watch WWE, but she has gotten love from Dwayne The Rock Johnson on Twitter. It's 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, it's been long known that when they're not actually competing in their events, Olympic athletes are spending a lot of time getting up close and personal with each other. Look no further than the nearly 500,000 condoms that have been allocated for athletes at the Rio Games as proof. And like the young people looking for love at home, Olympic athletes are increasingly taking to apps like Twitter to make it easier to find someone, according to a spokeswoman for Tinder. According to a spokeswoman for Tinder, usage of the app has skyrocketed in Rio, with matches increasing 129% over the weekend, and the trend is expected to continue. The Associated Press says that profiles of athletes of nearly every sport can be found on Tinder, with updates like "Got plenty of time to kill" or "Looking for fun in Rio." And many have updated photos of them in Rio shirtless or in a bikini next to the pool or a beach.
Did you do a story in London? I think this was popular at one of the other recent Olympics. Might have been the winter two years ago, or
yeah,
London
four years ago. Sochi, I think, was big
familiar,
for that.
Right?
I mean, it seems like this trend of athletes getting together at the Olympics is only continuing to grow.
Well, listen,
they've tripled, I believe, the number of condoms from the London Games to the Rio Games.
Well, let's not pretend that this is something new. The only thing that's new here is that they can use technology to hook up. Yeah,
which, of course, is stereotypical of young people in general, because they're all in very close proximity to each other. They're in the Olympic Village. There's like 10,000 athletes in a very small, small area where they could just easily just find each other in person. But no, they're using the technology.
Most of whom are pretty fit.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And police, Gordon, in a Rome, Italy neighborhood have come to the rescue of an elderly quarreling couple by cooking them two plates of pasta. According to the AP, neighbors called police one recent hot summer night because the 94-year-old man and 89-year-old woman, married for nearly 70 years, by the way, were doing lots of shouting at each other. The four officers who responded realized that there was no crime in progress, just, quote, two souls to reassure. They set to work treating them to dinner using ingredients at their disposal, spaghetti, butter, cheese, plus a precious ingredient, all their humanity. The couple reportedly ate the meal with gusto.
So police came to their house, cooked a meal.
Yes. There's a cute picture of them, too, of the couple sitting there eating the spaghetti while the cops are cleaning up. Like, they're washing the dishes and cleaning up after cooking for them. Yeah,
that's funny. Very good. Well, listen, after 70 years, I guess, you're entitled to some quarreling.
For sure.
I don't know what you argue about when you're 80. He's 80. Oh, she's 89. He's 94.
He's 94. Well, you have 70 years of gripes, basically. So it could be almost anything.
Right. Thank you, Mike. 14 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Coming up next, Facebook will be overriding your ad blocking software. Mailing your letters and packages has just gotten a lot easier thanks to Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can mail and ship anything, anywhere, using just your computer and printer. No more trips to the post office, and it's so easy. Anyone can do it. Just click, print, and mail. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage right from your desk. Stamps.com does all the work for you. The setup is easy, too. In minutes, you'll be printing your very own postage. You'll never have to go to the post office again. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, which includes postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com, then enter the code Deal. Again, visit Stamps.com and enter the code Deal. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a technology update, and it's brought to you by Dell. Check out Dell's new XPS 13 laptop, featuring incredible battery life and performance that's 4 times faster. Learn more at Dell.com/radio. Besides the political rants this year, here's something else that may turn you off about Facebook. The company is going to start forcing ads to appear for all users of its desktop website, even if you use ad blocking software. Facebook said yesterday it will change the way advertising is loaded into its desktop website to make its advertisements considerably more difficult for ad blockers to detect. According to some estimates, 26% of us use ad blockers on our desktops. The Wall Street Journal says with the move, Facebook runs the risk of turning off some of its 1.7 billion monthly users who prefer not to see ads while browsing the internet. Facebook, by the way, will not circumvent ad blockers on mobile devices. It's 8 minutes before the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News
Britta Michael Phelps has his 20th and 21st gold medals. Phelps made up for one of the rare losses in his brilliant career by winning the 200-meter butterfly last night. An hour later, he returned to anchor the 4x200 freestyle relay. Also in the pool, Katie Ledecky won gold in the 200-meter freestyle.
It's a race between Ledecky and Sjöström, and Katie surging ahead. Looks like she's going to win another Olympic gold, and she does.
The U.S. women's gymnastics team won the gold medal in the team all-around final, beating Russia by more than 8 points. But it wasn't all good news for the Americans, as Serena Williams crashed out of the tennis competition in a straight-set loss. Los Angeles leaders are pitching their bid for the 2024 Olympics as a risk-free project that requires little construction and could produce a financial surplus. At a news conference yesterday, Mayor Eric Garcetti noted that L.A. is already ready to handle such an event.
We are one of the world's great sports towns. Our city is blessed with a wealth of Olympics-ready infrastructure.
Los Angeles is seeking to host the Olympics for a third time and bring the Summer Games back to the U.S. for the first time since Atlanta hosted in 1996. L.A. is up against Paris, Rome, and Budapest. According to a new analysis, it would take 228 years for blacks to accumulate the same amount of wealth whites have now if current policies remain in place. Measuring balance sheets, income, pensions, and demographic characteristics, the Corporation for Enterprise Development found that over the past 30 years, the average wealth of white families has grown by 84%, three times as fast as the rate for African-American families and 1.2 times the growth rate for Latino families. And this comes as no surprise in our litigious society. Several fans who traveled to Canton, Ohio for the Hall of Fame game that was canceled on Sunday night because of poor field conditions are planning to sue the NFL and the Hall. An attorney says at least 20 individuals have approached him about a class action lawsuit. They're seeking further reimbursements, including travel expenses.
20 people.
20 people want their money back.
I have
my doubts. Their ticket money back.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes stuff happens.
Yeah, I know. I have my doubts. 20 people? Come on. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Well, Olympic historians have forever been trying to determine who's been the youngest athlete to ever compete. Contenders have included a 10-year-old Greek gymnast from the 1896 Games and an 11-year-old British figure skater from 1932. The Wall Street Journal says there's another possibility, an unnamed boy, possibly 8 years old, who served as coxswain for the Netherlands two-man boat at the 1900 Paris Games. This summer, the International Society of Olympic Historians studied a paper with 41 footnotes from a Georgian historian and journalist. They think maybe the boy was from the country of Georgia, whose family happened to be touring in Europe at the time of the Games. How's this possible? Well, first off, the 1900 Olympics were a fiasco. They ran alongside Paris's World Fair, and many athletes didn't even know they were competing in an event called the Olympics. And back then, crews relied on children as coxswains who navigate the boat. The Dutch pair that year apparently had a weight problem on the boat, so they recruited a small kid from the crowd, as the theory goes. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Whether traveling or working remotely, we know your PC is your business headquarters. And when work takes you on the go, you need a laptop that can keep up. Dell's XPS 13 empowers small business owners to collaborate anywhere with incredible battery life and powerful performance. Reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times faster performance when you refresh to new Dell PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Explore the XPS 13 at dell.com/radio.